All right, Proverbs chapter 9 tonight. Proverbs chapter 9. On Wednesdays, we've been dealing with this series, Wisdom from Above, and I think you understand the series, that there is the wisdom of God that we find in His Word, and then there is a so-called wisdom of this world. And we have a choice as to how we're going to live. God gives us a free will, and we choose. Are we going to choose God's way and God's wisdom or the world's wisdom? And here in Proverbs, we're kind of trying to contrast that here so we understand what exactly is God's wisdom and then what the world says and why it's a good thing to choose God's way. God's way is always the right way. Now, some of us have lived in the world a long time before we got saved. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I had enough of that, you know. And the devil's always trying to lure us back. And that's kind of what the message is about tonight. So Proverbs chapter 9, we'll read the whole chapter. And maybe it's 18 verses. So why don't we read responsively? You can stay seated as we read it. And I'll read verse 1 and then together 2, save my voice a little bit tonight. All right, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars together. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Amen. A lot of truth in there, a lot of truths in there, but I think the whole thing's kind of linked together, and hopefully I'll be able to do that, show you that this evening. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight. Yes. And we thank you for the Bible.
Amen.
Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, as we look at it tonight and as I preach it tonight, I pray you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Lead and control my words and my thoughts this evening. We pray the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and you draw all men to yourself. Please give us understanding and wisdom from above this evening as only you can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Well, there's an article that appeared in Psychology Today. I don't endorse that magazine, by the way, but I thought it was an interesting article in August of 2017. And it was entitled this, The Power of Persuasion, 6 Ways to Get Your Way. Now, that sparked your interest right there, didn't it? It had a subtitle, How to Influence Others and Recognize When They're Influencing You. Now, in this article, the author describes the techniques that people often use, often it's salespeople, to get you to do what they want you to do, like to buy a product or whatever it may be. You know, marketing companies, we understand, spend millions of dollars to try to get you to buy their products. And they use all kinds of psychological techniques to try and to accomplish this. I mean, they do studies on how people think and what causes people to make decisions and all of that. And in this article, some of the things that she listed, she said that, and I'm going to read to you some of these techniques. She said that one of the techniques that is used to the power of persuasion and how to influence others is what's called the reciprocation principle. This is when a salesperson, we've all experienced this, when a salesperson gives you something for free, okay, like a sample, or you're walking when it used to be popular to walk in the malls and they'd come and they'd give you a little dollop of a hand cream or something for the ladies or a perfume sample. And they do that for a reason. They're not just giving stuff away. It's this reciprocation principle. In other words, they want you to feel indebted to them. So now they gave you something. Now you have to either at least listen to them, if not buy something from them. That's a reciprocation principle. Another is called the social proof principle. That's when the person who's trying to persuade you tries to get you to think that everybody's doing this. And everybody wants this. And so you should want it too. I don't know if you remember this, but in the old comedies of old, Dick Van Dyke Show and so forth, you'd hear in the background sometimes, and I'm not sure if that show had it, but some did, laughing machines. You remember them? That they ha 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 ha. And they put those in there so when you're watching it, you would laugh too. Think, well, I guess it's funny. Ha 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 ha. That is the same principle, the social proof. Everybody's laughing, so it must be funny. Trying to persuade you to think a certain way. Then there's the liking principle. That's when the person who is trying to persuade you first tries to get you to like them, him or her, so that you'll go along with what they're trying to sell you or say. You like them. When you like somebody, it's hard to say no to them. So they're extra kind. Then there's the authority principle. This is when a person is trying to persuade you, tells them that the so-called experts endorse what they're trying to sell you. For example, you'll see on a tube of toothpaste, a dentist recommended, or this person endorsed, and so forth. So, obviously, if the experts say it's good, it must be good. Again, the power of persuasion. Then there is the scarcity principle. Again, this is all from this article. This is when the person who's trying to persuade you tries to convince you that you have to act right now, right at this moment, because time is running out and that you're going to miss this opportunity or the coupon code is going to expire in 15 minutes or there's a limited amount or there's someone else, other people interested in this product. Again, that's the scarcity principle. My point is this. People will use all sorts of tactics to try to get you to do what they want you to do. And this extends beyond just buying things. By the way, the devil does the same thing.
Right.
He does the same thing. You see, the devil has spent and will spend his entire earthly existence trying to persuade people. Trying to destroy lives, trying to disrupt marriages and families, trying to derail God's people.
Right.
And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us of this.
Amen.
He said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil's trying to do.
Amen.
By the way, he's been quite successful over the centuries. He has destroyed and derailed the lives of countless believers,
right.
Teenagers, husbands, wives, preachers, missionaries, you name it. And he does this by using one simple tool. Persuasion. Persuasion. He can't make you do anything. The devil made me do it. That's not true. But he persuades.
Amen.
He's trying to convince me and you, anyone really, that his way is much better than God's way. And far too many believers have taken the bait. There have been people that have sat where you sat that aren't sitting there anymore because of the persuasion of the devil. Now here in Proverbs chapter 9, we find what I'm going to call two voices. Two voices that are calling out to mankind.
Amen.
We see the voice of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 9, and then we see the voice of folly in Proverbs chapter 9. We see the voice of God and the voice of Satan. We see the voice of righteousness, and we see the voice of unrighteousness.
Amen.
Now, we see this first voice, the voice of wisdom, in verses 1 through 12. Then we see the second voice, the voice of folly, calling out in verses 13 through 18. So the first half of this is foolishness, is wisdom calling, verses 1 through 12, calling you to come to me. And then in the last half, it's foolishness, no, come to me. And the question is, which call are we going to answer?
Amen.
Which call are we going to respond to? Tonight I want to preach on this subject, the wisdom of answering the call of God. I'm not talking about the call of God in the ministry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the voice of God.
Amen.
Now remember, there are three enemies that every believer has to face. We get this. We understand this. This is basic Christianity. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We get that. Those are the enemies of the Christian. You have an enemy in this world. You have enemies in this world. That is the world and the flesh and the devil. The world, James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Amen.
So the world is in direct opposition to God. Then the flesh, Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. How many know exactly how that feels, right? What he's talking about there? And then there's the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But don't get worried about this stuff, because thank God that through Jesus Christ and through the blood of the Lamb and through the Spirit of God that dwelleth in us, if we're saved, we can have victory over all three of these enemies.
Praise the Lord.
We can.
1 John 4:4,
ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I like that verse.
Praise the Lord.
That verse helps me a lot. Because sometimes I think otherwise, and I'm reminded, no, that's not true. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
But throughout our entire earthly existence, our entire journey through this world, these three enemies will be constantly calling out to us, trying to persuade us to follow the devil's way instead of God's. And by the way, this isn't something new. This never happened before. No, it's happened since Genesis chapter 3, actually before. That's when he started tempting there. Let me show you something. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. First book after Daniel. Hosea chapter 11. Here is this principle seen in the nation of Israel. God raised up the nation of Israel out of the loins of Abraham. Why so? To be a light in a dark world. To be God's representatives on this earth. They were supposed to influence the world for God.
Amen.
Do you know what happened? The exact opposite.
Amen.
Notice Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him. Here it is. And there's the word. Called my son out of Egypt. Can you see God calling them to himself? That's what he did. Come to me. Follow me. I want to use you. And they followed him. But notice what happened. As they called them, so they went from them. What he's talking about here is Egypt. So when Israel was a child, then I led them and called my sons out of Egypt. But as Egypt, they called them. So they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven image. What happened? There was a call of God on their life to follow him. But then Egypt called them and said, no, come this way. Be like us. And guess what they did? They followed the call of the world.
Amen.
And it led to their destruction, if you will, or at least being set aside. And that's what we're seeing in Proverbs chapter 9. Go back there, if you would. Let's see if we can't learn some things from these calls here and what we have to deal with in this world. Notice number one, the call of wisdom. Again, it begins with, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, the idea of wisdom being personified in chapter 8, we saw that last week, is now carried over into chapter 9 as well. And we see that wisdom personified as a woman, calling wisdom her, we see that she is inviting men to her banquet. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. Notice the call of wisdom.
Amen.
And this is what God is saying to us as well. He's calling us to him.
Amen.
To himself. He calls all of us to follow his way, to obey his word, to live by his principles, to, if you don't mind the phrase, dine with him. Feast on his word, if you will. Oh, we sing the hymn, Come and Dine, right? The Charles Wiedemeyer, 1907. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth. Now, come and dine. You say, why didn't you sing it? I wanted to spare you tonight. But that's what wisdom is doing to us. It's calling all of us.
Amen.
Now, notice three things here about wisdom. First of all, letter A, would you write this down? Notice her mansion. What a scene we're seeing here. Wisdom builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars in verse 1 and 2. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Notice what wisdom is inviting us to. A mansion. An absolute beautiful house has been built for us. And can you see it? The finest food is being served as you walk into this beautiful place and you see this big dining room, if you will, set up with food and the table so elaborately decorated. And we're invited to come and eat. Hey, this is all for you, he says.
Amen.
Now, we're Baptists. We like to eat. And he says, live by my wisdom and feast. Notice he's not inviting us to a dump,
right.
To a shack. It's not some house of cards, something that's just an image, a mirage, if you will. It's not a fantasy. He's inviting us to the real deal.
Amen.
Here it is. And he invites us all, understand, he's not inviting us to just merely exist in life or to have a mediocre life or to have a life that's just getting by. You'd think that with most of us. The Lord offers us the abundant Christian life.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Do you believe that?
Hallelujah.
Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. You know, so many believers live as spiritual paupers. When God has available to us all the spiritual blessings that we need.
Amen.
And I wonder sometimes if we believe that. Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Notice He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Amen.
Everything we need.
Praise the Lord.
We walk around as if we're bankrupt. We walk around as if we're so down and discouraged all the time, when everything we have is here in God and His Word. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Preacher, I just can't live the Christian life. Yes, we can.
Amen.
He's provided everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I remember when we were down in the Outer Banks, Mrs. Fry will remember this, and the Frys took us out to this parade of homes. And I'll tell you what, I have never in my life seen homes like that. I mean, beautiful, like I can't even describe them up here. Huge, beautiful, meticulous. Everything, amenity you could imagine in these homes that were there. Multi-million dollar homes, absolutely beautiful. And I thought, can you imagine living there? Do you know that this is the type, a parallel of the spiritual life that God is offering us?
Amen.
That's what He's offering us.
Praise the Lord.
She is offering her wisdom personified. Notice her mansion. But then also notice her maidens. Look at verse 3 and 4 as wisdom's personified. She hath set forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Who is simple, let him turn in hither. Notice wisdom here sends out her maidens to do what? To invite others to come and feast.
Amen.
Now understand, these maidens are already in the house. They're already there. They're going out to invite others. They're calling others, "Hey, come on in and feast. Come on in, enjoy what we're enjoying." You know that pictures in my mind, they remind me of God's people who have themselves chosen to go and feast themselves. Those of us that have chosen, those that know the Lord, those that have been down the road a little bit, if you will, and we have chosen to live for God and try to live by God's wisdom, that we've seen what happens when you don't. We understand, and we're trying to tell others, hey, come on in. The food is great. The house is wonderful. So we see her maidens, but then we see her message, number 3. What is she saying? Look at verse 4. "As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled." Notice what she's crying out. First she's saying, come to wisdom. Eat of my bread, a drink of my wine. Non-alcoholic, by the way, but let's move on. Forsake the foolish and live. Go on this way. Go the way of understanding.
Amen.
What is the message of wisdom? Very simple. It's calling us to God's way.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you know what the message of wisdom is tonight? Get saved.
Praise
Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ Amen. As your Savior.
Amen.
He'll save your soul, forgive your sins, Praise put your feet upon a rock, give you a new life in Christ, and change you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
By the way, you'll have a home in heaven as well.
Praise the Lord.
And for those of us that know Him, the message of wisdom is fear God, live for God, obey His Word, be faithful to church and giving and witnessing and all the things we're supposed to do. Serve God with your life. Raise your kids for the Lord. That's the message of wisdom. Titus 2:11-12 puts it this way, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That's the call of God for all of us. That's the message of wisdom. Oh, I know these contemporary liberal church have the idea, oh, you're saved, you're under grace, so we should live, we can live as we please, and it's all right with God, it's all under the blood. Well, yeah, I understand it's under the blood, but we're not going to get blessed of God if we don't follow His wisdom.
Amen.
We won't.
Right.
But notice in verse 11, after he says this, for by me, notice the result. What God himself promises in verse 11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied.
Amen.
And the years of thy life shall be increased. That's the benefit.
Amen.
Of following the call of wisdom.
Praise the Lord.
You believe that tonight?
Amen.
Do you see God's word as grievous, or something that's good, something that's right, and this was best for us? And here we find this personified wisdom saying, I've made this, I have this mansion, I have this beautiful feast for all of you. Come on in and dine. You'll be glad you did.
Praise the Lord.
But there's another call. It'd be pretty easy if it was just one call. Hey, come on in. There it is. Well, that makes sense. Look at that. Who wouldn't want to go into that place? Who wouldn't want to eat a spread like that? But yet in the background, there's someone else shouting out, wait a minute. Don't go. I have another offer for you. And we find number two, the call of the world. Notice in verse 13, here's another woman. Foolishness, we might say, personified.
Amen.
A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing.
Amen.
For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city, look at it, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. She has her guests as well. Can you see the person walking down the street and hearing the voice of wisdom crying out, and he's marching to that place, and here is this foolishness personified, waiting for another victim to pass by, seeing that person going to the house, the mansion of wisdom, and says, psst, 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 psst. You don't want to go there.
Amen.
I have another plan. You see, there's an opposing call on all of our lives. We stand between these two voices every day of our lives. There's the voice of God and the call of wisdom, and there's a voice of foolishness and the call of the devil. And by the way, the world of the devil and the flesh and the call of foolishness makes all kinds of promises to us. But calls us in the exact opposite direction that God does, to do the exact opposite things that God says, to think the exact opposite way that God wants us to think.
Right.
The two calls. Well, let's look at this one. We saw some things about the call of wisdom. We saw her mansion, her maidens, and her message. What do we see about the call of foolishness or the call of the world? Well, notice, first of all, her personality. It's easy to spot the call of the world.
Amen.
Maybe not at first, but after you've heard it a while.
Amen.
Notice how she's described, her personality in verse 13. A foolish woman is what? Clamorous.
Right.
She is simple and knoweth nothing. You see, the call, this is the exact call of the world.
Right.
Clamorous. Now, what does it mean to be clamorous? To me, clamorous means this, to talk loudly. It means to repeat yourself again and again and again. It means to say things confidently as if you know what you're talking about. It is someone that talks loud, that repeats their ideologies and philosophies over and over again, and they say them so confidently, and they are very convincing. That's what the world is like, by the way. They talk like they have all the answers. They talk so loud. They talk as if they know what they're talking about. They preach their doctrine loudly. They preach their doctrine repeatedly. I guess they have the idea, that old philosophy, if you say it long enough and loud enough, eventually people are going to believe it. And that's what they do. Over and over again, this clamorous woman speaks out her philosophies of humanism, her philosophy of evolution, her philosophy of socialism, her ideas on climate change and critical race and gun control and speech control. I mean, over and over again, just turn the news on. I don't suggest it, but if you listen to it once in a while, that's what you're going to hear. Blah, 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 blah. It's in everything.
Right.
But notice the reality of this woman in verse 13. She's simple.
Amen.
And knoweth nothing.
That's right. Amen.
That's what she is.
Amen.
Hold your hand here. Go to Romans chapter 1. Because Romans chapter 1 describes this world very well.
Amen.
Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, notice, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Amen.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie.
Amen.
And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever.
Amen.
Amen. That's them. They say that they know everything. They act like they know everything.
Right.
But they know very little.
Right. Amen.
Clamorous. So I see her personality in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. She's clamorous. But I also see her place. Look at verse 14. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat, notice, in the high places of the city. You know, it's interesting because while both of these women are calling men, there's the voice of wisdom and the voice of foolishness. We could say the call of God and the call of the world and the call of wisdom there. Notice it's the voice of foolishness that occupies the high places in the city. That's interesting, isn't it? It's amazing how the godless world has gained control of the high places. They've captured them. They've seized them. They control the news media. They control the educational system. They control the entertainment industry. They weave their philosophies through everything they do. You find it in television and movies and music. All of those things filled with their call. The call of the world. Calling men to themselves. It's weaved in every commercial that you watch. They've taken control of the social media platforms. Even our government. It's everywhere. They occupy the high places, again, propagating their philosophies, broadcasting their godless ideas, and promoting their agenda. You say, that's not fair. Well, maybe not so, but that's the way God said it would be.
Amen.
Didn't he say in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them? I understand God is sovereign. He controls everything, but He allows the devil to do things. And obviously we see here, He has become the God of this world. That's who this world worships. That's Satan.
Amen.
Because He's called them to Himself. All of His philosophies. That's His platform, or her platform there. The control of everything. She sits in the high places of the city. But then I notice, thirdly, her pursuit. Who is she after? Interesting. Notice verse 15. To call passengers, look at this phrase, who go right on their ways. She knew who she's after? God's people.
Amen.
You know who she's after? You.
Right.
Me. Our children. Our grandchildren. Again, weaved in this whole society is this foolishness that the devil has propagated, and there's this voice that is constantly calling to people, come to me, and the devil particularly aims at those that are saved and those that are living for God.
Amen.
It's interesting, she's not content to allow people go in the right way. She does everything in her power possible to try to persuade them into her way. She's relentless. She's aggressive. She's persistent. By the way, she'll use any means possible. She'll use friends. She'll use entertainment. She'll use education and any other source of temptation she can find to try to get you and me and our children and grandchildren to answer her call. Come this way. Come this way. But I notice one last thing about her. Not only her personality, her platform, and her pursuit. Notice her promises. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret places, in secret is pleasant. You see it in your mind? Someone walking and trying to live for God and doing the right thing. And that woman that's sitting there that occupies the high places, calling them over, saying, hey, you don't want to go in there. Over there, that's no fun. I mean, you have to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You don't have a life. That's what she says. She says, come my way. Hey, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, she's saying, hey, my way brings joy. My way brings satisfaction. My way is more fun. My way is better than God's way. The problem is this, young person. She's a liar.
Amen.
She's a liar.
Amen.
It's interesting how she's sitting at the door of her house. You know why? Because she don't want anyone to peek inside her house. Because you know what's inside her house? Is what we find in the next verse. A bunch of destroyed lives.
Amen.
A bunch of people that wish they never made some of the decisions they made. A bunch of people said, boy, if I could go back to that path and heard her voice again and hear her voice again, I'd say, no way! You're not fooling me.
Amen.
I'm not falling for that garbage.
Right.
But she smiles and she lies. Just like the devil.
Right.
John 8:44, ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Who's behind this woman that's calling the God's people away and people down to her path? The devil's behind it all.
Amen.
Because he wants to destroy us.
Right.
He wants to destroy me and you.
Right.
And by the way, once you get into her house, it's not easy to get out.
Right.
And if you do get out, you'll never get out unscathed.
Right.
Because those of us that have been in that house could show you the scars. We could tell you the stories of what we wish we never did.
Amen.
And the memories we wish we could erase.
Right.
But thank God that His grace is always sufficient.
Praise
Jesus. So we see the call of wisdom. Then we see the call of the world, which leads us to the last thing, and that is the choice of the believer. Notice verse 18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there.
Right.
Can you imagine when she calls them in, they walk in that door and they look around, they see all these dead bodies in there? What's this all about? Reminds me of a little joke that I heard. There was this rabbit on top of a sewer hole cover in the middle of the street, jumping up, going 49, 49, 49, 49, 49, 49, 49. People walk by, what is that? 49, 49, 49, 49. And somebody finally walked up and said, what are you doing? He says, 49, 49, 49, 49, 49. What are you doing? He says, psst, psst, come here. And he opens up the lid and he shoves him down there, puts him on there. He said, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50. That's like this woman, right? I got another one. I got another one. My point is this. It was funny when I was 12. I thought at least Brother Cordry would laugh at it. Amen. But think about it. Which call are we going to answer?
Amen.
Every day of our lives, philosophies, ideas, things of this world are getting thrown at us at warp speed. And we have so many venues for them to come at us today. From it used to be just the television that was on only a few hours a day. Now it's all the time, everywhere. And it's constantly calling to us, come this way. Which call will you and I answer? Young person, how about you? You're looking around, you see people that are living for the Lord, and they're telling you, no, live for God and do the right thing. Then you go out to a workplace or somewhere, and you got the world saying, nah, you don't want that. Listen, you've never lived. They don't know what they're talking about. How do you know if you haven't tried it? You going to answer that call? God says this, Deuteronomy 11:26. He says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. God's saying here, look, I have a blessing and a curse. Here it is.
Amen.
Follow my call and you will be blessed. Follow the call of the world, you will be cursed. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You see, the devil's smart. He's not going to put the sign on the door, death.
Right.
Cursing. He's going to put the same words on his door as God has on his. Life. Fun. Joy. Don't fall for it.
Amen.
The call of the world, the call of wisdom. The world can be very compelling and convincing. Will God help us to discern those calls and follow always the call of God? Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.